That's all my scriptures written out. I'm just going to read, to start off with, the first four verses of chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the word that we have in our hands. We thank you for what it teaches us. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort that it gives us, the hope that we have. And Lord, what a blessing to be in Christ and to inherit spiritually salvation by faith alone in Abraham. Oh God, I ask you to give me a speech, a mind that'll bring a blessing. I pray that everyone here will be blessed and drawn closer to you. May we understand a little more what your word says. Give me help. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's very interesting. Abraham was a very rich man. Now, you remember the very last thing that we had in Egypt was that the Pharaoh was running him out and embarrassed him because of what he did. And evidently, Sarah was one of the most attractive women that ever lived, at her age even. Of course, then again, they lived longer than we do. You know, that's another thing to think about it. I think Sarah probably lived to be 127 years old, and Abraham 175, 185. So they just about double us as far as our ages on the average go. But he said he's a very rich man. Now, money is a wonderful thing. You think about the problems that we're going to face here between Abraham and Lot, because they're both rich. But how are they rich? They're rich in cattle, they're rich in she-asses, they're rich in goats, they're rich in sheep, they have gold and silver, but they've got a lot of herds. You know what you got to do with herds? You got to feed them. They didn't have combines. They didn't have tractors. And they're out there trying to feed them. And both of them are great. They're big. They're rich. And so, what about riches? It's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing. But then sometimes it's a curse. If you got riches, somebody wants to get it from you. That's the truth. When Miss Bell was living in an assisted living, she didn't think clearly all the time. And sometimes she did. Most of the time she did. But she didn't think clearly all the time. We would come to visit her, and she would tell Verlene, said, "I'm going to get me a new Lincoln." Well, she couldn't drive. She was through driving. But in her mind, she wasn't through driving. And in her mind, she wanted a Lincoln. And she had the money in the bank to do it. She could have bought a brand new Lincoln Town Car, you know, loaded with everything it had on it. Because it was a broker, but she could have got it. And Verlene would try to talk her out of it. "Now, Mama, you can't drive." "I can too." "Mama, you can't drive. You don't need a car. You haven't driven in so long." And for I don't know how long, she would fight with us. You know, she'd, no, I can't. I'm just, you know. One day, Verlene says, "It's your money. Go buy a Lincoln." We never heard about it again. Never was brought up again. "You can do it. Just go ahead and have your way." And she never mentioned it till the day she died. No, not any problem. But now, think about riches. Think about these kind of people, nomadic people, live in tents. They move when the grass goes to some place that has grass. They move around and they eat up all of the grass, and then they got to move all those camels and sheep and oxen and everything like that. And there's always some other guy over here who wants what you have. He wants all your camels. He's jealous that you got so many nice horses. He's jealous that you have such a big, wonderful tent. And so he wants to take it from you. You remember here in this chapter 2 why Abraham is going to arm his 318 soldiers. Why do you have 318 soldiers? To protect what he had. There was no police force. There was no army. There was no League of Nations you could complain to. There were no court systems that you could go to. You better have enough spears and arrows and swords and knives and people who knew how to use them. Now, you talk about a pretty rich man. When I was in the Air Force, a flight was made of 70 men. He has 5-6 flights of soldiers that are part of his family, his whole spread. But it said he moved him to Bethel. Now, the word Bethel means house of God. He was at Bethel before. He had made an altar there before. And now then he goes back. He's just had one of the most embarrassing times of his life, and he's going to repeat it twice. I mean, he's going to repeat it once to make it twice. I cannot imagine Abram letting his wife go into a Pharaoh's harem. I bet he spent some sleepless nights wondering what's going to happen to his wife. And how would that do? God's promised that by her, he's going to have an heir that's going to be the father of many nations. Going to inherit all these things. And yet, and when I see that, that blows my mind. That he would do that. What a position he put her in. What a position he put himself in. What a position he put God in. And yet, is this guy brave? He is brave. We're going to find it out when we get over to the next chapter. He's a very brave man, and he's a soldier. He must be a good strategist. But at any rate, there's some verses that I'd like for you to think about. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Is it you by your intelligence? Is it you by pulling yourself up from your bootstraps? Is it you, the self-made man? Or is it God? It's God. There are a lot of self-made men that don't have the riches of Abraham. There are a lot of self-made men that have done a lot of things, but hey, who gave you the ability? Who gave you the brains in the first place? Who gave you the talent? And who gave you the opportunity, or maybe who gave you a daddy that left you an inheritance so you could buy something and become extremely rich with it? It's God. Now, in 1 Samuel 2:7, it says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. Who does that? You're poor. Well, you might could blame God for that. Do you know something? Being poor might be the best thing for you. That's the truth. Money is always a problem. And it's a blessing. Oh, man, I'd rather have money than be without it. But I spent a lot of my life with not much. Budgeting, deciding what we can do. Do we buy this or do we don't buy this? Do we pass this by? Do we make this for ourselves? Do we buy junks and fix them up and then sell them? You know, what can you do to put food on the table or to pay your bills? God knew you needed some things. So don't be so mad that you don't have all the money you think you ought to have. It might be worse for your kids. If you could buy them everything they wanted, and some people can. Some of you in here can. I had friends that could. I couldn't. And sometimes I felt a little jealous, you know. I wish I could buy her. And I thought, well, you know, but I'd hold back on them. I wouldn't spoil them. Ridiculous. If I'd have had the money, I'd have spent it on them. They'd have had nice little motor scooters running around the yard, you know. There's something else to fix. It's going to go out, whatever it is, and you put the kid in it, it's going to get wrecked. The Lord maketh poor, and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Now there's another verse, Proverbs 10:22. Here's a little different riches. Said Abraham was a very rich man. Well, he was a rich man in several ways. He was a rich man in faith. He's the example of faith in the Bible. We have studied all of Genesis to get down to Abraham. Abram at this time. Because he is a famous man. And not only all the Jews came from him, the Arabs came from him. They're children of Abraham too. And then we came from him. We're saved by faith. We're not saved by the law. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. Well, who's the great father of the faith? Abraham. And so, Jews, Christians, Muslims, they look to Abraham as their ancestor. They lift him up and make him big. It says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If God blesses you, that's the way to be blessed. Coming from God. Not that you got it skimming off of God. Not that you got it trying to go as close as you can to the fire to get it and get successful. Not that you're scheming or cheating or lying or stealing. But no, God gives you riches and he brings no sorrow with it. Now that's what you want. That's what you want. He's a rich, rich man. Now, notice what it said here about Abram in verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Here is a very rich man. Didn't Jesus say very few of them would make it in the kingdom of heaven? Have riches, it clouds your vision, it clouds your faith. You got to watch out for it. Well, my Bible in Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what did he do? What's the first thing he did when he went back up there to Bethel? He built an altar. How did they worship God? They sacrificed animals. They shed blood of these animals. And that was their way of going back to God. They had various ways of doing it. I'm not sure about all of them. I've never been that interested enough to pick out which feast and which tabernacle or which burnt offering or wave offering and all of that. Because here in Christianity, we don't do anything like that. It's by faith that we do everything. But in Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, it looks like that's what Abraham's doing. He's coming out of Egypt. Where does he go? Bethel, the house of God. What's the thing he does there? He builds an altar. Now, he'd built an altar there before, but evidently going to build another one. He may not be sitting at the exact spot in Bethel that he was, but these are nomadic people. There are no streets and there are no high rises. And there probably weren't any barbed wire or anything else to keep your cattle from running off except the men that you had or people that you had working for you to herd your cattle and to move them from one place to another. All these things shall be added unto you is what the Lord said. Put God first. And man, what a lesson to us today. I was looking at the television yesterday. I was watching ball games, but I noticed all the things. They've got Black Friday for 10 days now. And Black Friday, you can go down and buy an automobile on Black Friday and save big. You'll lose about 10% when you drive it out of the place. But I had a man one time tell me, he was a school teacher, he was an intelligent man, he taught math. And he told me he bought two Mercedes, one for his wife, one for himself. And he said, it's a great investment. Now, can you think with me a minute? A Mercedes is not an investment. It is a tremendous cost. It may drive really beautifully and well, but it's not going to be worth more. Put your money in a house. Put your money in some land. It will maintain its value. Put it in the bank? Yeah. Put about $10,000 in a CD, and they'll give you about $147 a year. Not even 1%. A lot of these people retire. Oh, I've got $100,000. I've got $200,000. I'm going to live on my interest. Not today. You better go back down and start selling hamburgers at McDonald's or Whataburger, because the whole thing's just gone. You better just trust God. I don't think you're smart enough to beat the averages. I'm sorry, I just don't. You know, I've seen a lot of people with money. I've known a lot of people with money. And I've known a lot of people to lose money. I've known them to be rich and then go broke. I've known them to make more money and lose their kids. Sad, 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 sad. You know what Abraham did? He built an altar. What should you do? Well, you don't need to build an altar. You need to give your heart to the Lord. You don't need an altar. You don't need to follow the law. What you need to do is follow the Lord. What you need to do is love God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Psalm 40, 41 and 42, verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What kind of thinking is that? It's like loving God like you love your wife or your husband. Who do you love? Do you ever treat God that way? I think that's an embarrassing thing for most of us. We're faithful. We come to church. We read our Bibles. Are you thirsty for God today? Thirsty? You're really hungry? Do you really love? Does your heart pant after God like a deer runs to water? Wow. I'd like to have that kind of heart. You know what I know? I don't have it. I don't know on my best day that I ever get it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you ever completed that one day in your life? Think about it. That just crushes my mind. It just, every time I read it, I think, everything about me, it's selfish. I'm interested in me. The whole world revolves around me. You might not know it. You think it revolves around you. But no, 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 no. You don't understand. The whole world revolves around me. The truth is, it revolves around God. But how do we get out of this selfishness? How do we get out of this self-interest? I want, I need. Somebody take care of me. Somebody do something for me. Need to seek God. Well, that's one thing he did. As it shows right here in this chapter. Abraham goes back to Bethel in Canaan, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. I've studied the Bible. I bet I've read it more than most people that ever lived. I'm sure somebody's read it more than me. I wish that I had that much love for God. I wish that I wasn't thinking about my own interest all the time. I wish that I had more energy to serve God. I wish I could just be hungry and thirsty just to be in prayer in His presence. How much do you pray? I'm sure you pray. I pray in a sense all the time. I'm thinking to God. I don't have to bow my head and close my eyes while I'm driving down the road. It's not a good thing to do, especially riding a motorcycle. That you were so spiritual, that's why you were thinking about God and wrecked that motorcycle four times. I don't know anybody with that quality of spirituality. Isn't it the truth, though? Can you recognize in yourself, I'm very self-centered. I'm interested in me and what I want and what I think. And I think everybody else ought to be interested in me and what I want and what I think. Now apply that to you. See, if you were really thinking about somebody else, you'd have brought those wires to me already. Every once in a while, brother, every once in a while. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." Make your word good with God. Call upon Him in truth. You can't fool God. Just to know there is a God, and what that means, He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your thoughts before you ever have them. He knows your future. And He wants to bless you. Isn't that something? That is really something. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be happy. He wants your marriage to work. He wants you to work with each other. He wants you to submit to each other. He wants you to care for the other person. And then for your children, if you have children, He wants you to care for them. You ought to be thinking more about them than you think about yourself. You ought to be thinking more, as a pastor, I ought to be thinking more of how I can be a blessing to you in the hand of God than how I can please myself. But I'm afraid that most of us, pastors, Christians, teachers, elders, lovers, are more interested in ourselves. I did not marry Verlene to bless her. I married her because I thought that was the best thing I ever could get a hold of. And I was right. Up to this point. I might get married next week. I'm praying for a 50-year-old geriatric nurse. And I'm going to go and put my ad in the paper up in Wisconsin where those big farm women are. Get somebody that can handle my 284 pounds. I'm having fun. I don't know whether you are or not. Praise the Lord. Now, when you're thinking about this, Lot went with him, and Lot went out with him. Lot was down there in Egypt, and Lot, when Abraham left, Lot just stayed right with him. He was just almost like a son to him. And I know Abraham had enough love for him that he kept him with him, but Lot was a burden to him, and God didn't tell him to bring Lot with him. Of course, I can understand. He's his nephew, his dad's dead, he's young, and so I can see Abraham with the kind of care and that he has that he brought Lot with him. But Lot brought Abraham a lot of trouble. Abram, he's not Abraham yet. I have a hard time. I call him Abraham all the time, but not Abraham. Okay. Lot also went with Abram. Had flocks and herds and tents. Well, Abram taught him well. He said, this is the way you make money. This is the way you grow. You get your your cattle, and you get your sheep, and you get your oxen, and I don't know whether they had any horses or not, those Arabian horses, they might have had some back then, I don't know. Whatever, you amass this wealth. Well, he's following a good teacher, and he's amassed wealth. But wait a minute. Remember what we were talking about? How do you feed a big herd of camels and cows and sheep? And how do you do it? You got to have grass. They didn't have a feed store. They didn't have somebody coming by with a truck and dumping a bunch of feed at your place. They didn't have a hay baler that when your cow does not have enough grass, you can feed him hay. And they're together. They're huge. They're rich. Lots even rich. Abraham's richer. Very, very big. And now then they've got problems. Why? The herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram get into fights over who gets this grass. You can see old cowboy movies and they'll be telling you about range wars. And then the first idea of barbed wire fences and cutting up the land where you couldn't just go where you wanted to go in the open range. Well, that's what they had to deal with. And so Abram and Lot couldn't live together anymore. You know what Lot would have been better doing? Giving it all to Abraham and just managing for him. Because we know the end of the story, don't we? We don't ever think like that when we're making a decision. When we're deciding which job to take, which town to go to, what to seek after, which house to buy, which car to buy, when we're deciding all of those things, we don't think that way. Because we're selfish. We're self-centered. We're interested in what we're interested in. Lot is crowding on Abram, and Abram is crowding on Lot. And though they love each other and respect each other, it's become just too big. So I want you to think about the generosity of Abram. Look at verses 8 through 11. Abram says, let's not fight. We don't want to fight. We're brothers. We're family. I know brothers who have not spoken to each other in 40 years. And they're not going to tomorrow. But family ought to be something you value. I've done my best to keep my family together by various things and ways. I value family. My 5 children now are all grown. They're my best friends. I still have some friends from years ago. I've got the church. And I love all of you. But my family, my boys and girls and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, they're my family. They're my friends. And that's rich. That is a riches that God can give you if you work for it. Well, here we've got Lot and we've got Abram. And who should be the one to make the choice? Abram. I don't know how much older he was than Lot, but he might have been 30 or 40 years older. At any rate, Abram says, you pick. We can't keep this thing going the way it's going. There's no fighting. We don't want any fighting between us. So we got to separate. We can't keep doing things the way we've been doing them. It's just not working out. So, you pick. Well, the Bible says that land over there, going down around that Dead Sea now, all that big desert and salt lake, It said in this day, it was like the garden of God. Wow. You seen any pictures of it? You ought to see the pictures of that thing. I don't know how you could drown in it unless you laid face down. You're going to float with all the salt. You ever been to Salt Lake out in Utah? You just float. I can't float. My wife was made of foam rubber. I could not have drowned her unless I'd have sat on her. She just floated. I never can float. I got to swim. I mean, this thing, this is a very heavy fat. It just really goes. You'd think it was muscle, but, you know, I don't think I could put that off. He said, you pick. You pick. Whichever way you go to the north, I'll go to the south. You go to the south, I'll go to the north. Boy, that's generous. That's generous. Sometimes when people are being very generous with us, we don't recognize it. I don't think Lot recognized it. I don't think he thought that much about what Abraham was doing. Abram was doing, excuse me. And at any rate, he got to look in, he says, wow, look at all that grass down there by Sodom. Look at that rich, watered land. That's the place to go. Now I want you to watch out in your life. Some of the things that are going to look like the place for you to go are going to be the very worst place you could ever be. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. I've seen people make decisions for stupid reasons. Not anything spiritual, not anything of denying the Word of God, just stupid little reasons. They get mad. They get upset. They do something. And they leave a place of blessing. And bless your heart, that's the worst thing you can do. Because where you move to may be just the wrong neighborhood for your kids. Just might be the wrong people. They might marry the wrong people. They might work for the wrong people. Always make your choice first spiritually. I know it's so good with that money. Amen. Being so much more than what you're getting now. No, Lot took a look at that and he said, wow. You mean I can go anywhere I want to go and you'll take the other? Yeah, that's the generosity of Abram. You take your pick, son. And Lot says, well, I'm going to go down this way. I'm going to go down by the Jordan River. I'm going to go down there close to Sodom. And Sodom's the richest town around, probably. But it was wicked. It was a wicked, vile place. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You ever go the wrong direction? I've gone the wrong direction. I got into Wyoming one time, and I was flying along with one of my big Fords. And I don't think they had a highway sticker on that thing every 100 miles. But I finally decide I missed a turn somewhere. I was way out of where I was supposed to be. Amen. I lost time and miles and gas and energy. I made the wrong turn. You make the wrong turn, you're going to pay for it. It's going to hurt you. Lot made the wrong turn. He made the wrong turn for his daughters. They married boys of Sodom. And they didn't want to know anything about the Lord or wanted to know anything about the Lord. And when God sent angels to deliver them and bring them out, they didn't get out. They and their husbands died in the fire. Lot made a wrong move. You ought to be careful about any move you make. You ought to be scared to death of every move you make. You really should. You ought to be saying, oh Lord, I'm going to the altar. Lead me. Oh Lord, I don't know what's better. I know that little girl's so pretty and cute in her youth and her energy and sexuality, but she may not be worth 2 cents as a wife. You can't live on love. Somebody has to wash a dish. It just, that's the way it works. You better think about something. Is she going to make a good wife? Hey, that boy. I taught school teenagers 20 years, over a 30-year span of time, but I taught school 20 years. And I remember one pretty little girl, straight-A student, just the cutest thing. And she's just talking about this boy. Oh, he's so dreamy. He's this, he's this, he's this. And I took her aside one day. I said, this kid can't keep a job at McDonald's. Who's going to feed you and your babies? Why don't you think about something about different than the way he wears his hair or where his pants are about to fall off of him? Do they have some invisible suspenders that actually keep them down at the bottom of their rump? I'm not sure, but it disgusts me.
Yes.
I went to see Jesslyn play basketball at her school this week. And a boy, a teenager, I mean, he's high schooler. And we all get to see his red checkered shorts. Because his pants, he actually had a belt with them. He could have cinched them up a little more. I don't know how the pants stayed up. He wasn't actually holding them. So I think he's got pins in there or something, huh? Lot chose, and he made a wrong choice. Matthew 5:9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 1 Corinthians 6:7 says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law, one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Do you have to win all the time? You probably ought to choose to lose like Abram did. He chose to lose. He chose to let Lot have what he wanted. You know why he could do that? This is one of the greatest men of faith that has ever lived. You and I spiritually inherit salvation by faith, not by works. Praise God. Here's a man, he said, God will take care of me. Can you trust that? You don't have to win all the battles. You don't have to gain all the money. You don't have to build an empire. Why don't you just let God make some decisions in your life, and why don't you just trust Him? I was talking to somebody before church this morning about school and about I had this church going. I was going for 7 years. I was full-time pastor here. And then all of a sudden I'm out visiting. I called Verlene home. We didn't have beepers and telephones in those days. Had just the landlines. And I call her and I say, is there anybody else in the hospital or have you had another call or whatever? Before I come home, do I need to go anywhere else? She said, well, you need to come home because you're broke. I've been going 7 years. I'd get paid out and get in debt the next month, be paid out at the end of the month, and 7 years. Why now? I went home. I owed $3,000 I couldn't pay. And I'm upset. So I went and borrowed $1,000 from my father-in-law and borrowed $2,000 from a business friend of mine. High school buddy. And I had Verlene type me up 10 resumes of all my college credits and my work experience and whatever. And I went the next day and put them in at 10 different school districts. This is October. They're not hiring teachers in October. Do you know that? They hire teachers in May for September or August. This is October. San Antonio was the only district I worked for in San Antonio. San Antonio Middle School District called me the next day. They created 6 classes for me at Horace Mann, I think it was. Worst kids I ever had. I think each teacher sent me their thugs. Made up 6 classes. And I'm starting in October. I had 6 different preparations. I didn't teach the same thing 2 times a day. So I'm sitting after school every day with a typewriter at my desk typing up 6 lesson plans from 6 different subjects. And I was so mad. I was mad. I was mad at God. Now, that's not a good thing to do. That's not smart. I'm not telling you my intelligence. I'm telling you my stupidity, you understand? And it's about 5:30 in the afternoon, and I still wasn't through. And I always tried to keep school separate from church and family. I didn't take school work home. I stayed at school and finished it. And I didn't take my spiritual work to school either. But I said, I don't have to do this. And the little voice said, oh, yes, you do. Now, I don't know where that voice came from, whether it came out of my subconscious or God spoke to me. I don't know. But that little voice said, oh, yes, you do. And I said, whoa. You see, I didn't think I was doing anything bad. I thought I was doing right. I thought I'm doing God's will. That's what I try to do. What God's will was to put me back teaching 10 years. Well, that wasn't my will. That was God's will. I led principals to the Lord. I led kids to the Lord. I led teachers to the Lord. And some of them still come. It was God's will. You may have to do some things that you don't think you ought to have to do. You may be poor. You may lose your job. You may lose your health. Can you trust God? Amen. Abram could trust God. Lot, take what you want. You make yourself happy, Lot. Well, I'll take all the green grass. I'll take all the water out of the Jordan River. Wow, and that big city, Sodom, woo! Have you seen that city? It is something else. You talk about a modern city. You talk about a great city. You talk about a rich city. Wow, what a place to raise your kids. Did he lose? He could not see that. But Abram, could say, I'll trust God. I will trust God. God's going to take care of me. Do you have that confidence that God's going to take care of you? That doesn't mean he's going to give you all the money you want. It doesn't mean that you're going to have that fancy house. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to drive new cars. You better learn how to pick used ones. But the generosity of Abram is just tremendous. And I think it comes because he had faith. He knew God was going to take care of him. And so he let them others go. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Abram got Canaan, Lot got Sodom. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You can't hang around a place like Sodom without it rubbing off. Amen. We have so many temptations today. Amen. And they are dramatic. They're powerful. Amen. I don't know whether you see what I see. I go into restaurants. I took Verlene out as often as I could for the last 3 years. And I see 4 people sitting at a table And all four of them have their phone, and then neither one of them not talking to anybody. They may be texting the other people at the table. I'm not sure. That just looks so impolite to me. I'm sitting at a table with you, and you're bothering with your little game, and I see old people older than me. They got that thing on their... You hear these little buzz, 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 buzz. Playing their games. What about your television? I have a 46-inch. I know they got a 90. My living room isn't big enough for a 90. I got a 46-inch, and it is wow. Wow. Woo! There's some sexy things on there. You know that? Are you so above sex that it doesn't bother you? Any of you? No, you're not. You're a liar if you tell me you are. Look at what we've got. We got music. I drive down the road. I don't even use my radio for anything but CDs. I don't. I hardly ever turn the radio on. I hardly ever lift my antenna. And I just drive down and listen to the greatest orchestras in the world play Christian hymns. Or Tennessee Ernie Ford singing 16 tons. Look at what we have. I'm driving one of the best road cars in the world, and I'm not going to tell you how fast. But it is a road car. A little bitty breeze, like 60 or 70 miles, doesn't even bother me. It hugs the road with that 4,000-pound automobile. Airplanes, rockets, games. I was just told by a personal friend that his college bill for his two kids, he's got them both out of college, and that cost him $1 million. You believe that? I don't think I've ever even made $1 million at 78. I hope they make millions back. But I don't think so. And if you don't have much character with that education, what good is it going to do you anyway? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around with people like sodomites, you're going to talk like them, you're going to smell like them, you're going to think like them, you're going to look like them, and people are going to think you are like them. Amen. You need to pick some different friends. You need to pick some other places. Boy, I was going to go along. I had 6 pages of scriptures here, and I'm just through 2. Now, you told me. Second Peter 2:7-8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I've said this before many times in my life. From my reading of Genesis, I would never have considered Lot a righteous man. I just would not have done it. I wouldn't think he was a righteous man. But Peter tells me he is. That's the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. He was a righteous man, and his soul was vexed, and he lost all his family. He had 2 sons by incest with his 2 youngest daughters. He ended up living in a cave. And his descendants fought Israel. Wow. Lot got a choice. He made the wrong one. You're making choices every day about what you eat, about what you buy, how you let your kids dress, where you let them go, what you do in your own house. You make a lot of decisions. And bless your heart, some of them are going to have consequences. I'm not going to say all are, but some of them are going to have consequences you do not want right now. You don't want it. Why don't you try to be a little more a child of faith? A son of Abraham. Somebody who puts faith in God and trusts Him. Hey, I've had fun. I hope you did.